Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And thank you that, Lord, your word is a living word. And so we pray, Heavenly Father, you will open our hearts so that you can speak to us from your word today. In such a way, Lord, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, we will respond to you and be different. And that, Lord, through the work of your Holy Spirit, we might become people who help to extend your kingdom. And as we so readily pray, that your kingdom will come on earth. So may it come in our own lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. I wonder what kind of mouthpiece you are. Perhaps you're the person who is turned to when they want to have a good restaurant. Or maybe you're very good at parenting. If you are, perhaps you would tell us later and you'll have a queue at the door. Or maybe it's fixing cars. And some last year, I remember one holiday, I think it was probably about the first time we'd gone without the children, and our son's car was in pieces, we believe, on the drive. And so on the phone, John was the mouthpiece to telling me how to put the engine back together. It's quite a sight. And we're all a mouthpiece for something, aren't we? Our family and friends know us for our expertise or skills, and we use our mouth to help others. But today we're thinking about being a mouthpiece for justice and truth, the fifth of our M's that we're talking about on the front line. This week I watched a snippet of a morning magazine type programme on the television, and I was interested to see Debbie McGee, Paul Daniels' widow. I don't know if any of you saw it. Oh yes, a few perhaps nods. And she was there, she said, to put the record straight publicly. You see, the newspapers had written many things about her this week, malicious things from one of her stepsons. We don't need to go into all the details, but they were not very nice at all. And she saw this as an injustice. And interestingly, so did two of her other stepsons, one of whom was able to be with her on the show to give her support, and as he said, to uphold the truth and right the injustice of the media. I thought that was very interesting. He was willing to do this, not as a Christian, but simply to support his stepmother because he wanted to declare the truth of the situation. I was very impressed with him, because he could have just said, oh, don't worry about it, it'll all die down as it does with the media. Or he could have said to Debbie, I'll be thinking of you when you go on that programme. But no, he went with her, and actually they said the other son would have done, not the one who's causing the trouble, but the other one would have gone as well, but he couldn't get out of an engagement he had. But he put himself in the public eye to stand up for the truth. He had nothing to gain for himself. I thought that was quite a challenge. What about us? Are we willing to go public for justice and to stand up for truth? If we look at the character of God, and we sang about that in our first song today, the Bible is full of passages about the poor being oppressed, and also about God's righteous indignation. I don't know whether you've ever seen this Bible before. It's called the Poverty and Justice Bible. So if I turn, you'll see lots of orange highlighted. And if I turn to the Old Testament one we had today, that is done in orange. And if I turn to the New Testament one that we had today, somewhere here, that too is done in orange. And actually, if you look at this Bible, you are struck by the many, many times throughout the Old and New Testament that God talks about justice and truth. If you look at passages in Amos, they're very vivid. But the passage that we had in Luke, when Jesus was stood up in the synagogue and speaking, he was reading from Isaiah. And Jesus said he would come to proclaim good news to the poor, release to the captives, and freedom for those who are oppressed. Wow. Is that what we are? Is that what we do? Today we have a human trafficking sex industry estimated to be $150 billion. In the UK alone, it's estimated there are 13,000 slaves. Jesus said, proclaim that the oppressed shall go free. We are called to follow the example of Jesus. This is what he proclaimed, and therefore, this must be our message too. Jesus again says, I am the truth. Our God is a just God, a God who hates injustice. So what is it that causes your blood to boil? Or because of the media today, are we all so indifferent that nothing does? I'm reading a book on the crucifixion by Fleming Rutledge, who is a preacher in America. But she has done working on this book for many years, and she says this. To be outraged on behalf of oneself is to be human, but it is not to participate in Christ. To be outraged and to take action on behalf of the voiceless and the oppressed, however, is to do the work of God. That is very challenging, isn't it? It's our challenge today. So we need to see the world as God sees. Our blood does need to boil at times. And to do this, we must be saturated in Scripture. We must know the Word of God. We must know what is right or wrong, truth or lies. And to have the power of the Holy Spirit to act appropriately. So let's look for a moment at that Old Testament passage. And of course, we only read part of the story when Nathan was speaking to King David. You see, we have King David who had broken at least three of God's commandments. He covets another man's wife. He commits adultery. He commits murder. And as king, he seems to have got away with it. But no, because God knew. And God knows our sin too. So he sent Nathan to be his mouthpiece. And Nathan's approach is very interesting. He tells a story. He doesn't go straight in and say, David, you've broken three commandments. He tells a story and gets David to empathize with the person in the story. And David's blood boils and he says, ooh, that's unjust. And then Nathan says, but you are that man. He confronts David with the truth, but in a way that David could understand and come to that conclusion himself. Nathan was brave. He was a mouthpiece for justice and truth. It can't have been easy going before the king and telling him that, but he did it with God's help. And I think if that had never happened, what King David might have been like in the future. You see, whenever God confronts with the truth and whenever we try and do the same, God's purpose is always, always not to condemn, but to forgive. Because they tell us that the truth, Jesus says, the truth will set you free. And so our goal of telling the truth is always for the well-being of the person. But Nathan stopped David in his tracks And sometimes that's what we have to do too. One example in the book, Fruitfulness on the Front Line, was very challenging. So I know that everybody's not got it, so I'll share it with you. I'll try and make it short. It's a bit longer in the book. But there is a Christian guy, Tom, and he works for a drinks company. An alcoholic drinks company, probably spirits. So he goes on a business trip to the Far East, and he's out with his team, going to places where drinking features, but also beautiful hostesses who offer more than serving drinks. A long story short, as the evening goes on, his friend, who is a married man, takes a liking to one of the hostesses. So Tom prays, "What do I do? What can I say?" They happen later to be in the bathroom at the same time. And so Tom speaks again, and Tom himself said it was the Holy Spirit that gave him the words. And he says these, and I wrote these down. "I would encourage you to make sure that the decisions you make tonight are the same as those you would make tomorrow." Very wise words. And the Holy Spirit does promise us to give us the right words in difficult circumstances. Anyway, soon after he'd said this, unfortunately, his colleague left with one of the hostesses. So Tom went back to his hotel room and knelt down and prayed and prayed. Long story short, the hostess said, "I'm not one of those kind of ladies, and at the moment I'm heartbroken." And his friend stayed up all night listening to the sob story of this lady. Wow, what an answer to prayer. Now, maybe if I'd been in the position of Tom, I would have thought, well, I did my best. I told the truth, but actually, it was hopeless. And I was very challenged by the fact that Tom didn't do that. He went back to his hotel room and knelt down and prayed and prayed. So maybe sometimes when we tell the truth, we think it's not had any effect. And we need to keep on praying and telling the truth. You see, Tom cared enough to confront his team member. He cared enough to confront. But he did so in a non-judgmental way. And that takes skill and experience. He must have thought himself it was to no avail. But actually, God intervened. So what about our front line? Of course, it won't be the same kind of situation for each one of us. But justice, some things may be quite simple. It may be like serving fair trade products in our own home, so that when neighbours or friends who aren't Christians come, we can explain why we do that. Because we want justice for the coffee growers or the tea planters. We want to make sure that they have a living wage too. Or it may be twinning your toilet, and they usually give you a plaque to put up in your toilet, because you believe that everybody should have access to a clean toilet. They're just little things that each one of us can do. But it may be that you see injustice at work. Will you speak up for a colleague whose promotion has been blocked because of sexism or racism? Or what about unethical practices that you see? And the list goes on and on. But we need to see with God's eyes. We won't always get it right, and probably some of us, I'm sure I do sometimes, say it in the wrong way. But the Holy Spirit, we're told, will give us the words when we need them. And so we need to pray and ask that when we see injustice, we will say things in the right way, or when we need to confront with the truth. When we talked about ministering grace and love, I suggested when I preached on that we needed three things: courage, commitment to following the ways of Jesus, And also the cost, to bear the cost in time or inconvenience or in monetary means. But I'd like to add a fourth C today. To be a mouthpiece for truth and justice, we need to care enough to confront. We need to see as God sees. To ask that God, who in Ezekiel said, "I'll take out your hearts of stone and put in a heart of flesh." We need to ask God to do that with us, that we are not indifferent to the injustice around us, whether it be on our front line or further afield. And we need to be full of God's Holy Spirit to be able to act when we see. There should be things that make our blood boil. And for all these C's, courage, commitment, cost, caring to confront, we need to be soaked in God's word, to know what God's word says. I remember the first time I used this Bible, I was surprised by how much it is said about truth and justice. So are you willing to care enough to confront? To do as Fleming Routledge said, not just to boil on your own behalf, but actually to stand up for those who have no voice and to tell the truth for those who are going the wrong way. So, as the psalmist said, maybe each one of us needs to pray, "Lord, be a sentry at the door of my mouth." And trust that the Holy Spirit will give us the right words to speak, so that when we use our mouth, it is according to God's will and purpose, and we become a mouthpiece for truth and justice. Amen.